Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 10th canto, described as the Summum Bonum. We're in chapter 13, the stilling of the boys and calves by Brahma. And we're on text number 50. Is that big enough for everybody? I think it's as big as I can get it. Chandrika Vishada Smirai Chandrika Visada Smirai Saruna Panga Viksitaha Saruna Panga Viksitaha Swakartanam Iva Raja Swakartanam Iva Raja Satvabhyam Shrashtri Palaka Satvabhyam Shrashtri Palaka Chandrika Visadasmiryai Saruna Panga Vikshitai Sakartanami Varaja Satvabhyam Shrashtri Palaka Chandrika Visadasmirai Saruna Panga Vikshitai Sakartanami Varaja Satvabhyam Shrashtri Palakai. Vishana Swayanai Sarandama Masajishtitai Katama Vetalata Kamatam Satatam Batam Tabatata Sayatai Tamatam Batitai Tamatam Satatam Batakam Palaka Vikavi Sadasmirai Saranam Kapanga Vistiktai Sakartam Iva Rajaha Saswatam Shrashtri Palakaha. Vaishnavis Chandrikavi Sadasmirai Saruna Panga Vikshitai Ambarkaha Chandrika Vishadasme, right? Ganga Vikshitai. Chakartami Vajajai. Sotamya Chachita Palaka. Synonyms. Chandrika Vishadasmerai. By pure smiling, like the full increasing moonlight. Sa Aruna Apanga Vikshitai. By the clear glances of their reddish eyes. Svaka Artanam. Of the desires of his own devotees. Eva. Just as. Rajasattvabhyam. By the modes of passion and goodness. Shastri Palaka. Were creators and protectors. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Those Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling, which resembled the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the modes of passion and goodness. Please repeat. Those Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling, which resembled the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the modes of passion and goodness. So a most ecstatic purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is one of the last purports that he gave. Actually, there's only like 14 more verses that Srila Prabhupada gave on this planet. And he's revealing his innermost ecstasies, actually. He's getting ready to go back to Godhead. And he's revealing his innermost ecstasies and the desires that he's had in his life. So this is a very wonderful purport. Those Vishnu forms blessed the devotees with their clear glances and smiles, which resembled the increasingly full light of the moon. Shreya Karyava Chandrika Vitaranam. As maintainers, they glanced upon their devotees, embracing them and protecting them by smiling. Krishna has all qualities. He could do anything with any sense, right? He can eat with his eyes. He can smell with his hands. And he can embrace his devotees by a smile, as revealed here. Their smiles resembled the mode of goodness protecting all the desires of the devotees. And the glancing of their eyes resembled the mode of passion. Actually, in this verse, the word raja means not passion, but affection. In the material world, Rajaguna is passion, but in the spiritual world, it is affection. In the material world, affection is contaminated by Rajaguna and Tamaguna. But in the Sudha Sattva, the affection that maintains the devotees is transcendental. The word Sakartanam refers to great desires. As mentioned in this verse, the glance of Lord Vishnu creates the desires of the devotees. A pure devotee, however, has no desires. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami comments that because the desires of devotees whose attention is fixed on Krishna have already been fulfilled. The Lord's sidelong glances create variegated desires in relation to Krishna and devotional service. His desires create. In the mature world, desire is a product of Rajaguna and Tamaguna. But desire in the spiritual world gives rise to a variety of everlasting transcendental service. Thus, the word Sakartananam refers to eagerness to serve Krishna. In Vrindavan, there's a place where there was no temple, but a devotee desired, "Let there be a temple and seva, devotional service." Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagada Mayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Let's read the verse again. Those Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling, which resemble the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the modes of passion and goodness. So here, the Vishnu forms are being described here. I put together a little visual here for you. We could take a peek and get an idea of these forms. Let's see if it works. There we go. So, anybody remember what Svakartanam means? We just went through that. Yes, actually that's what that means. Jai, thank you. So we see Krishna was there with the coward boys. They're enjoying their lunch. But we see Lord Brahma. He was kind of curious and he wanted to test Krishna, this common boy. He's seen Krishna kill so many demons. But yet now look at him, he's just like an ordinary boy. And these Gopas are just ordinary. He seemed like they were just ordinary personalities. But even Lord Brahma, who is the most intelligent person in the entire universe, can make a mistake. And these are the three things that we can make in the mature world. Is that we can make a mistake about ourselves, who we think we are. We can make a mistake about who Krishna is. And we can make a mistake about who the devotees are. So these are the three mistakes. And Lord Brahma, even though he's, you know, such a great personality, Srila Prabhupada says anybody who has taken birth in the mature world has these defects. So Lord Brahma took birth, even though it was from a lotus flower, still his birth in the mature world. So he has this tendency. So some people may think, oh, you know, Lord Brahma, he's supposed to be a pure devotee. But yet, you know, he makes these mistakes. How could he not know this is Krishna? Or some devotee even asked Prabhupada, you know, we say that Lord Brahma is a pure devotee, but we saw that he was attracted to his daughter. How could this be? Is he a pure devotee? And Prabhupada almost got, strong with the devotee and said, Lord Brahma is pure enough. So you can see a pure devotee, or like even you say it, like a sannyasi, is so pure that one spot in his character can just, you know, like a black spot on a white sheet or a white dhoti, it really shows up, contaminates the whole thing. So we see these pure devotees, sometimes they make mistakes, but that doesn't disqualify them. Krishna protects them with his smile. He was doing service for Krishna. and he was surrendering to Krishna. But sometimes we are given these lessons so that we can grow and get stronger in Krishna consciousness. And this is also the case with Lord Brahma. So we see in the mature world, we have to understand that we are fallible. And if we understand that Krishna is infallible, then we will understand the perfection is for us to take shelter of the infallible. And then we also become, you know, infallible like that. So that's in the mature world. We have it, these two things. We have mistakes and we get into an embarrassing situation. So it's embarrassing for Lord Brahma. It's described that Lord Brahma, you know, if other Lord Brahmas heard about this, you know, who knows, would be like all the, you know, like the grapevine throughout all the different universes. Everybody talking, did you hear about Lord Brahma, the four-headed one? He just did such a dumb thing. You know, it's like, how could he, you know, it's like that. But it, Lord Krishna kept it like contained. He doesn't spread rumors around different universes. So Krishna protects his devotees in that way. So we see here, this was such a power, this was such a heavy situation. You could imagine all the devotees and the cows were taken away by Lord Brahma for a year. Imagine if Lord Brahma, Krishna came back home and said, you know, I lost all the coward boys and I lost the cows. I don't know where they are. What a disaster would have been in Vrindavan. All the mothers and the fathers and the cows couldn't live. It was such a disastrous situation. But Krishna, by his pure desire to help his devotees and fulfill their desires, he didn't let this happen. In fact, he expanded himself into all those thousands of coward boys and cows. Because, why? He knew the desires, the inner desires of his devotees. And he created such a situation that was such a disaster that he turned it into the greatest benediction. All these parents, they had such a deep desire to serve Krishna, just like Nanda Maharaj and Madhya Soda. If I had Krishna, I would serve him like this, like they do. I would even do this, and I would do that. So Krishna wanted to fulfill the desires of his devotees. So he created this situation where he became their child for an entire year. And they completely fell in love with him. Completely fell in love with him. And you can see here, this is where you can see all the coward boys, cows, they completely fell in love as if it was Krishna with their own children. And Balaram, towards the end, was noticing this, and he asked Krishna, what's going on here? And just see, Krishna couldn't do anything. And even Lord Balaram, who is omniscient, who is a supreme personality himself, Krishna can put into this yoga maya, this, you know, so that he can not understand what's going on to create this pastime. So this is how Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees. It's so wonderful. So we can see what happened here. Now we're getting into the verse where they're having lunch. Lord Brahma comes, he's bewildered. They're just like they were before, eating. And he's going back and forth to the cave. What's going on? What's happening? You know, Krishna's, this whole thing is happening. But yet, Krishna reveals this, the universal forms, I mean his Vishnu forms, out of each and every coward boy. It's interesting to note that Krishna was fulfilling the desires, and even Yoga Maya herself, in the form of, what's her name? There was a name of, what's her name? Purnamasi. She said, oh, this is a good time to get the girls married to these coward boys. So they actually got married during that time. They married Krishna. So that was another way of fulfilling the desires of his devotees. So that was wonderful. So we can see here, Krishna expanded himself into all his Vishnu forms in front of Lord Brahma. and is describing their beauty. It said that the beauty of Krishna's body is so sweet, but his face is even sweeter. But his smile is still sweeter still, right? Even more sweet. What is that verse? Madhuram, madhuram. The nectar verse that we hear from Dravida. Madhuram, madhuram, madhuram. I forgot that one. I used to memorize that one. But it's a beautiful verse. So this is Krishna's smile. It's very sweet. And that's being described now. It's like his glances. It's so wonderful. His glances. These red eyes looking at you look like they're passionate. But they're just sidelong glances. Just glancing on the devotees. And blessing the devotees. And this is how the devotees get their grace. Like Sri Satchinanda was talking about how we get the grace of Krishna. We can't do anything without the grace of Krishna, which comes through the spiritual master. And that grace comes. How? As we're describing here, by the smiles and the glances of Krishna. This is what protects the devotees. It's so wonderful. So Lord Brahma came to his senses and he approached Krishna and offered such wonderful prayers to Krishna. In the next chapter, hopefully you will continue in the next chapter of this canto, and you will read about these wonderful prayers of the Lord Brahma offering to Krishna. They're wonderful. We have to recite them ourselves and glorify Krishna. So some devotees wanted me to present some images that we took in Mauritius, but I'll try to relate them to the class a little bit. And as we can see in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions on the bottom, and is not taking any credit at all. And what is he referring to there? Let there be a temple. There's even a chapter in the Lilamrita that describes, let there be a temple. And this temple was there in Ramanreti. I mean, there was no temple. It was just an empty space where hundas and dacoids, and it was like a jungle there. And Prabhupada had this vision that, you know, that this should make a nice temple. And someone donated this land to him. And as soon as he got the land, there was another supposedly sadhu, older lady. She kept asking the owner to give it to her. And because he didn't give it to her, she sent gundas there to disrupt the devotees. But anyway, the devotees came out successful. And this is how Krishna protected his desire in this place. And now you can see the devotees, at first they said, who's going to come here? It's so far from the actual, or was that temple there? The Ramanriti temple? No, the Radhadambara temple, I think, there. They're so far. The devotees said, who's going to come here? You know, this place is like, you know, there's nothing here. But Prabhupada had a vision. He had a desire. And now, I hear, I haven't been there since the 80s. Now I described, you can't even walk across the street without, you know, danger of getting run over. There's so many people there. It's like packed. It's like thousands of people are there. Prabhupada says, wherever you bring Krishna, wherever there is Krishna, everybody will come. And this is what happened. All the devotees came. So many pilgrimage come. Thousands of pilgrims come. And Giriraj Swami remembers how it reminds him how this, you know, this temple was started. And also in Bombay, there was this attractive land there. And it was at the Bhartiya Vidya Bhavan. Prabhupada wanted that to happen. He said, this would be a nice plot of land. It would be a nice temple. And just so happened, that's where the temple there at, what's it called? That's in Bombay. This is the other one at the, where Radhana Swami's temple is, I forget the name. Chaupati Temple, that's where that is now. Just see how powerful is the desire of the pure devotee. And then, of course, you know that Giriraj Swami remembered the place in Juhu. Actually, before Srila Prabhupada came to America, he would every day go and see Mrs. Murari. What's her name? Srimati Murari. And he would go to this place where she was staying, and he would recite Srimad Bhagavatam to her. And he would pass this tract of land there and you say, this would make a nice temple, this area. So he just had that thought. This would make a nice temple. And what was there? It was like a jungle, and that's where these common people would go there and distill illicit liquor in the bushes. And that's in that spot. But Srila Prabhupada had a desire. This would make a nice place for a temple. And so many years later, look, we see the huge Juhu temple there. It's amazing. So that's the power of the devotee. So Krishna creates the transcendental desires in the devotee. You become a pure devotee. If you get the glance of Krishna, then you actually become transcendental power to create, and Krishna will protect those desires for you. So here we're traveling and we could see Srila Prabhupada's desire. Even by his desire, he created this temple. This would make a nice temple. It was a church. All over the world, you go to New York, San Francisco, all over California, all over the world you go, to so many places there's temples. So we had the fortune to go to another part of the world, which was Mauritius. And here there's another temple. This is Sri Radha Gokulananda's temple. When we first landed, that's the first place we went to the temple, got darshan of the deities. And next to my wife Krishangi's house, there's the farm. You can see a temple in the background. It's only like 10-15 minute walk. Srila Prabhupada, all over the world, we can go, like, you have a family practically all over the entire world. You go there, and they're doing the same kind of program you are. They have the same kind of habits, the same kind of mentality. You can actually relate to them. They're doing the same things you are. It's really cool. So we took a walk to the temple there. This is the farm temple where Krishna Balaram are. So it's very nice. There's very nice devotees there. There's a nice farm. This is just a small, I'm just giving you very, very few pictures. There's not much, I mean, you can do in a few pictures to show this place because it's so vast. Even though it's such a tiny island, it's so huge. There's so much to see there, and there's so much opportunity for Krishna consciousness. So this is Krishna Balaram and the temple there. They're very wonderful. A little close up there. So these are the deities. They're everywhere, giving their glance, their smile to the devotees. Just like here, you see Lord Jagannath, you see Rukmini Dwarkadish, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, smiling, giving their glance to protect his devotees, to give their grace. I think that's a different day. There's some of the other deities there. There's Shalikram Shilas. And it's amazing, the Russian devotees spend like 5 years there, and they did these paintings on the ceiling. That's where she's looking. Beautiful pastimes of Krishna. Amazing paintings. I took pictures of all the different paintings, but I'm not going to show them all here. But it just shows you Krishna Balaram, see? Just enjoying the pastimes in Vrindavan. Squirting milk right from the udder into his mouth. Beautiful paintings like this, all about Krishna's pastimes, all in the ceiling. So nice. And this is, they're getting prepared for the Sunday feast. Right outside, they are chopping all the vegetables, serving Krishna. Let there be a temple. Let there be devotional service. This is happening all over the world by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, because he's got that glance from Krishna. Here they're cooking. There they actually serve the Sunday feast in stainless steel plates, as you can see there. This is the courtyard of the temple there. To the right there's a huge grove of tulsis. In fact, tulsi grows wild in Mauritius. You see her everywhere. On the side of the road, everywhere, you know, so many places. So wonderful. And the people there are actually pretty pious. Everybody has like a tulsi plant in front. And because they're all like Ram Bhaktas, everybody has like a little altar outside their house of Hanuman. And they all worship Hanuman there. I'll show you some more pictures of that. So this is that devotee's house right there next to the temple I showed you just now. And this is their deities. So Krishna is bringing a temple to every home. In fact, Krishna is bringing a temple within every heart. The body can be a temple. And this is a nice seminar that they invited us to come, which Guru Swami was very much eager for the devotees there to have. He calls it the Mitra system, which means it's like friend. Devotees get together. It's kind of like Namhata, but it's a little different there in Mauritius, where the devotees come and they had this wonderful seminar about leaders on trusting and trustworthiness. Of what does it mean to be trusted and what does it mean to be trustworthy? So these devotees, Radhanaswami disciples, Sridham and his wife, gave this wonderful seminar in understanding how we have to develop qualities, character, so that you can be trusted as a devotee, as a leader. Be trustworthy, and how you should act, how you should be. So this is what we're doing, is we're purifying the heart, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, you know, param drishtva nivartante. We get this higher taste, or we get this moon, you know, the verse from the Shikshastramrikita about how this chanting of the holy name is like the rising moon, which is like Krishna's glance. So wonderful. So the devotees are very ecstatic. They had like on Skype, Guru Swami came and gave darshan there. He has a lot of disciples there. And they're all trying to develop this temple in the devotees, protect the devotees, help the devotees, assist the devotees. When the spiritual master is not there, you can take shelter of the devotees also. And this is another temple. It's in Phoenix. It's a town there. And this is how it looks outside. It's a very really prime location, like right in the area where there's a lot of city. It's not like a huge city, but it's like in a major area. And this temple is right behind there. Actually, right behind this wall, they're going to build a bigger temple. You can't really see. It's in this tree area. And the temple there is not, it's not like high, but it's on the right. As you can see there, like a little orange there. So that's the temple. And these are the deities inside. Radha Gokulananda. Smaller deities. This is where Sri Murti and some of the devotees were trained up in deity dressing. And Krishangi also was serving there. Devotees from Mauritius. It's close up. See the eyes tinged with red? Like the mode of passion, just the glance and the beautiful smile. And Srila Prabhupada is there also giving his darshan everywhere. It's beautiful. Prabhupada is there. And the devotees, see with it? Very nice. There's this nice devotee. Actually, Krishangi made this devotee. She made her practically a devotee. And she's a Sankirtan devotee. Became a very, very big Sankirtan devotee. And she lived in the temple for the rest of her life since she joined. So we had a birthday party for her. And it's nice to see even the smiles of the devotees and the sidelong glances, remembering their devotional service. So it was just so ecstatic to see, going through remembrances, how we came to Krishna consciousness and all the different pastimes of the devotees. It was just so funny, and devotees were just very happy. This is how in Krishna consciousness we get a higher taste. This is how you can give up these mundane, dead, material attractions, activities, sense gratification, by getting a higher taste in association with the devotees and celebrating the Lord. This was Nrisimhadev's appearance day there. They had a nice celebration. The temple's very much decorated. A lot of people were there. They had a wonderful dance with the youth there, enacting the pastimes of Krishna and different, like Vamanadev when he stepped on the head of Maharaj there. And Bhakti Mark Swami was there. They did another drama in a different place. This was entitled Mr. Puri. You know, Madhavendra Puri. It is called it Mr. Puri for short. And this is where he had to dig up the deity that was, you know, under the ground so for so long. And he convinces the villagers to go to this place, and then they find the deity, and then they're ecstatic. They bring this deity and they build a temple. It was pretty cool. All the youth were engaged in this, and Bhakti Mark Swami is very expert in engaging the youth. There was a similar drama that they did in, I think, Mayapur right before he came, called Mr. Puri also. But it changes every time because they get different actors, different devotees come and do that. So, and this is the Sunday feast at the Phoenix Temple. They have this huge tent they rented, and this is where they will serve the Sunday feast, and everybody gets in line and take prasadam. So Archit, I was asking me whether they had nice prasadam there. So I thought I'd show him some pictures. And wherever you go on the island, there's so many devotee restaurants too. And it looks like this. They have like a little setup like this. You look inside and you can order prasadam. So we're in different places. We're going and there's a restaurant there and you could just get prasadam. Different burgers, samosas, of course, sweets. So at every temple they have these, all the different restaurants. Even in some malls there's restaurants like this. We can go and get prasadam. There's like devotees everywhere. You just like, we're going on the bus and we look out and there's like, you see somebody walking with their bead bag, you know, Sika shaved head. And this is one of the Mitra programs we did. We're talking about the devotees getting together, and I was doing a presentation on the Bhagavad Gita Interactive. I don't know if you heard, but I created an app called the Visual Interactive Bhagavad Gita ebook, and I was presenting it there in Mauritius, and they really liked it. So they were given a class on Nectar of Instruction. I actually gave the class there. Here's another temple. There's this sannyasi. Jeez, I forget his name now, but he's a Giraswami disciple. And he studied all of Srila Prabhupada's books, what he said about Mauritius. So he compiled a book, and he's trying to fulfill all the desires that Prabhupada had for Mauritius. So he built a temple there. He went out and he arranged and got some land, built a beautiful temple there. And in that temple, there's a beautiful deity of Srila Prabhupada. This is, you see some of the landscape of Mauritius. Here, this is where the deities are behind the glass. The devotees are chanting Gayatri. They bring Jagannath deities on the weekend. Like during the week, there's not so much happening, but in the weekend, they have a Sunday program. And here's Srila Prabhupada. It's a brass deity. It's almost exactly like ours. It's wonderful, and it's so amazing. I was just taking some real pictures all around. The Vyasa sound there is so intricately carved. And the brass is amazing. So this is Srila Prabhupada going everywhere all over the world. You know, fulfilling a desire. This is, guess what that is? That's Tulsi Devi. All these Tulsis that are growing in the front yard. This is a close-up. And right next door they have what they call the Vatsyalaya Ashram. It's like a gurukul where they train the children in Krishna consciousness. This is another view of that building, the gurukul. As I mentioned, everybody in the front yard has a little altar of Hanuman. This is Krishangi's parents' front yard. And you can see there's a little altar of Hanuman. It just happened to be Hanuman's appearance day. So they were celebrating. They got this pundit that comes and he did a whole abhishek and they did the whole thing. It was really nice. He was talking about how everybody remembers Janmashtami and, you know, Ram, you know, appearance of Lord Ram, but everybody forgets about Hanuman Ashtami, you know, the appearance of Hanuman. So they did a nice ceremony. They do it every year. And you see right next to the altar towards the front is actually Tulsi Devi. Even though there's like Tulsi right behind us and on the side they're growing, she worships Tulsi every day. And then there's another altar everybody worships, usually Lord Shiva. There's a Shiva Linga there or something. So this is how, wherever you go, you see in front of everybody's home practically this little temple, little altar in front of their house of Hanuman. And there's a huge place where they built this huge, for somehow I missed the picture to show you, but they built this huge deity of Lord Shiva. It's like huge. It's like, I don't know, maybe 50 feet high. And then they're doing one of Durga. But near this place, there's a holy place actually And on top of the hill, they put this big Hanuman deity. And this is overlooking. There's this lake here, which is supposed to be non-different than the Ganges and the Jamuna. There's a whole story about there's a Brahmin that came to Mauritius and he was so much missing the holy waters. But he had a dream that if you, you know, there's like a jungle, you know, in the beginning days, that he, you know, macheted his way for miles. I think he was on the north side. This is more like the south side, I believe. And he had a dream that there was a lake there. And they told him that this was non-different than the Ganges. So it's like a holy Tirtha where everybody goes and they build all kinds of temples and ghats around it. And wonderful temples of all the different, of course, all the demigods. Of course, there's Radha Krishna there too and everything. So it's really nice. So yeah, we went there. Her parents offered some artik there. This is a view from a devotee's roof in Mauritius. It's another view from a hill. Went for a hike. And you go for a hike, and I was going for a hike, and I saw this little dog, and I go, what's this little dog doing up here by himself? And then I walked a little further, and I noticed, oh, there's a couple people. The dog was trailing them. So then I get closer, and I find out they're chanting beads. There's a devotee going for a walk too. There's two devotees. They're going up on top of this hill where I am, and they were chanting. And then they would stop there, put a yoga mat down, and they were doing some exercise. It's so funny. I go, wow. She goes, yeah, I try to come up here every day and chant Hare Krishna. She's like an old elderly lady, actually. Came with her young neighbor. And they're talking about chanting. This is a wonderful park. I didn't put so many pictures. It was just, I couldn't pick out. I mean, I have to get all the pictures to give you an idea of this beautiful park. It's just amazing. Banyan trees, wonderful things you've never seen before. But I picked this one because this is where the devotees would come when Guru Swami was there, and they would chant Hare Krishna. They would sit there and chant Hari Nam, you know, and spread the holy names around. So this is, you know, the material world is a very dark place. It's full of dangers. But yet we have the moon shine that comes from the glances of the deity, Krishna, of the spiritual master and the devotees that protect us. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport. If we go back, it's so wonderful. Prabhupada mentions that at the last part of the purport here, how he talked about the side glance, that he said in Vrindavan there's a place where there was no temple, but a devotee desired, let there be a temple and seva, devotional service. Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. So if you take this in the whole context of the whole purport, rest of the purport, that Srila Prabhupada is actually talking about himself, but he's not taking any credit. He's saying that these desires are actually coming from Krishna. Krishna is the power behind the desires of the devotee. He's not taking any credit at all. And how it's mentioned that the devotees are so important that there's a pastime where Dhananjaya was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was a new devotee in those days. And he read that there's a mountain of gold. It's described in the Himalayas. And he went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, is that true? Is there a mountain of gold there? And Prabhupada says, yes. And Prabhupada said, and he asked Prabhupada, do you know where it is? And he said, yes. And he said, Prabhupada, I want you to tell me where it is. Because, you know, I don't need very much gold. I'll just get maybe, you know, a couple kilos or something, because the devotees, you know, are struggling, and we could get some gold to, you know, to help with the temples. And Prabhupada said, no. That would be very controversial. He didn't explain what that meant, but the devotees are speculating. Maybe because it's on the border of China and India and it caused like a thing, you know, or maybe this, that. But they didn't know for sure. But Srila Prabhupada said, you know, what's more valuable than gold? He said, devotees. If you make devotees, they're more valuable than gold. So this is a Prabhupada. He really wanted these temples for his devotees. And he wanted these temples for them to be engaged in devotional service. Not that you just have a temple just to come and hang out. Like in Vrindavan now, it's like, I heard it's like people just go there to like hang out, get a bungalow, and just not even engage in devotional service. But no, Prabhupada wanted the devotees, even no matter who you were, senior devotee, new devotee, to go to the Dham and be engaged in devotional service to the deities there. And that way you'll be protected. Otherwise, you may fall down and actually, you know, go back to these material attractions. So this is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is revealing, the innermost desires and the innermost intense love that he's expressing, that he's experiencing from Krishna. And that was his desire, being fulfilled by Krishna. So therefore, we should always be eager to get that smile of Krishna, because, you know, we want to act in such a way that is pleased by offering our humble offerings to the Lord. So I know it's getting late, and if anybody would like to stay, as I mentioned, I did this app, and in the trying to please Srila Prabhupada, I developed this app, and I present it to a lot of senior devotees like Shama Sundar and Garuda and Archita and different devotees, and saying, and I said, Srila Prabhupada would love this, they said. And I said, really? And they said, yeah, Srila Prabhupada loved things like this. So then I, you know, so now, if you'd like to see, I give you a quick view of it. This is the Bhagavad Gita as it is ebook, which is available now in the iBook store. So let me just go through here. This is how you experience the table of contents. It's very visual, interactive, and you see here we have a link to all the different main sections of the chapter. You just click on them. If you want to go to the peace formula, then you just click on that, and it opens up the book, and there you can just read. So you can highlight, you can have notes, leave notes in the borders. You can highlight with different colors. And you have your note there. And it's got a full gallery. And so we have like 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, but there's actually 27 chapters. So check it out. I'm not going to go into too much detail. It's already late. People have to go. But we actually installed it on this iPad that's right there. If anybody would like to check it out, right there on the side of the screen, there's a little iPad where you give a donation. It's actually installed on that little iPad. So anybody who wants to check it out and play with it and read it and see, it has links to all Srila Prabhupada's lectures. Not all, but the lectures that relate to this particular verse, you can go to that link. It has a verse text and translations where you could chant the chapter. If you know how to chant, you could click on the little sound icon and it'll chant it with you, or you could click on the red sentence up there and you could chant along with Nirantara. And then we have, in each chapter there's a review. You could take a review, questions and answers. And then there's other questions. Just by clicking, it gives you the answer. You can go to external links where Nirantara's got a video of the summary of the chapter, that particular chapter. You can leave notes like that. So anyway, that gives you an idea. Any comments or questions? Thank you. So this is the Bhagavad Gita. It's called the VIBE, Visual Interactive Bhagavad Gita ebook. So in the beginning, as soon as people purchase it, there's a video. If you like, I'll play it. I don't know if it'll play. I mean, the sound wasn't coming through yesterday. But let's see. For some reason, it's not coming through the videos through the wireless thing. So, but you see that in the, you can see that on the app there. Or just go to the iBook store and just type in Bhagavad Gita as it is. And it's got this blue cover, as you'll see, that Bhardwaj did right here. Looks like that. Okay. Thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai.